Everything.
Call to order the Papillion Missouri River NRD budget hearing, adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's budget hearing and budget summary, adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for the hearing. After the adoption of the agenda and the appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, accept and identify exhibits, and break down the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony and statements on the budget hearing and budget summary. We ask that the public not interrupt public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Quorum call.
Okay.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Pennington.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Ben Sherman.
Here.
Item 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Teaser Conley. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Item 5, I have proof of publication of this meeting notice, and it will become part of the permanent record of this budget meeting. Item 6, appointment of hearing officer, John Winkler, general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next agenda item is evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice, which is part of the public record. Agenda item 8 is acceptance and identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notices in the Omaha World Herald September 5th and 6th, 2023, and the Omaha World Herald September 7th, 2023. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2024 budget. Exhibit 4 is the Papillion NRD fiscal year 2024 proposed expenditures revenue pie charts. Exhibit 5 is the budget worksheets. And Exhibit 6 is a resolution to set the property tax request for fiscal year 24 at $30,729,169.20 with a tax levy of 0.031324 per 100 of assessed valuation. Breakdown of the proposed fiscal year budget. The total requirements for this fiscal year are $119,519,952. The operating budget is $90,273,913. Again, the property tax levy request is 0.031324. Last year's was 0.034758, which is a 10% reduction. Total property tax requirements, $30,729,169, which is a 1.8% increase from last year's. Property valued at $100,000 would pay $31.32 this fiscal year. Last fiscal year is $34.76. The budget summary is broken out as far as flood control, erosion control, water quality, recreation, forestry and wildlife, watershed fund. Those are all broken out per budget item. This did not change significantly from the one that was adopted in August. So if there are any changes, they're highlighted in yellow. There were very few of those. Again, per our last discussion, 1.8% increase in the actual tax taking and a decrease of 10% of the levy. So this is the lowest levy since, I believe, 2005. I think we've done a pretty good job of being fiscally responsible and conservative. It funds all of our programs and projects, and be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Next part of the agenda is receive testimony and statements on budget hearing. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any comments or statements on the budget? Second request. And third request, none. We can call, unless you have questions, we can adjourn the hearing at 4:06.
Thank you. That was efficient.
Speed it up next time.
Yeah, I'm trying.
It's 4:05, call to order the Papillion Missouri River NRD special hearing to set final tax request, September 12, 2023. Notification of Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's special hearing to set final tax request, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for the hearing. After the adoption of the agenda and appointment of the hearing officer will provide the public evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, accept and identify exhibits, and break down the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget. Then the public will be given the opportunity to provide testimony and statements on the property tax request for fiscal year 2024. We ask that the public not interrupt other public input or director's discussion. Thank you. Quorum call.
Present.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Henningsen. Jack.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Stevens.
Thompson.
Here. And Chairman.
Present. Item 5, again, I have proof of publication of this hearing notice, and it will become part of the permanent record of this special tax request meeting. Item 6, John Winkler, appointed hearing officer, general manager.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Item 7 is evidence proof publication of the hearing notice. Which
hang on a second. Oh, adoption of agenda. Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
Conley, Fowler.
Good catch, man.
Thank you, Consiglietti. Roll call.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. Take it away, John.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 7 is evidence approved publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 8 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2, proof of publication of hearing notices, which appeared in the September 5th and 6th and September 7th Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the fact sheet for the fiscal year 2024 budget. Exhibit 4 is the Papio proposed expenditure revenue pie chart for fiscal year 24. Exhibit 5 is the 2024 budget worksheets. And Exhibit 6 is a resolution to set the property tax request for fiscal year 2024 at $30,729,169.20 with a tax levy of 0.031324 per 100 of assessed valuation. The breakdown of the proposed fiscal year budget I did last hearing. If you want me to do that again, I will. Item 10, received testimony statements on property tax levy for the fiscal year 24. Again, is there anyone in the public that wishes to provide any statements or testimony? Seeing none, second time. And then third and final. Seeing none, we can close the hearing at 4:10 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Director Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Programs, projects, and operations subcommittee meeting, agenda September 12, 2023. Call to order. Open meetings has been already spelled out in the previous budget hearings. Item number 3, quorum call. Item number 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Okay.
Jeff? Yes. Caesar? Yeah. Thompson? Yes. Fowler? Yeah. Chairman? Aye. Item number 5, proof of publication of meeting notice, which will become part of the permanent record. Item number 6, interlocal agreement with Dakota County for the replacement of Pigeon Jones Watershed Structure, number 11, Martin Cleveland.
Good afternoon. Bill, if you can go to that first map,
the series. Yeah. The two maps first, then we'll do the video. The structure is located in, it's after the agenda, I think, or after the agreement. Keep on going. A little further down. Below that. Yep, there it is. This structure is located, first of all, in Dakota County. Scroll down to the lower part of the map, if you could. It's near Hubbard, Nebraska, which maybe you all know where that's at. But it's south of Dakota City, south of Sioux City. Go to the next map, if you could, Bill. Next page, down below. So there's two structures in the same general vicinity. One's called 12A, and it's at the right-hand corner of the map, and then 11 at the left-hand corner of the map. 11's actually on a road called Odell Avenue. We call Simmons Road Avenue, or Simmons Avenue. It was actually built as a road structure back in 99, and 12A was actually built about a year ago. Go to the video if you could now, Bill. I have a little video that shows, starting at 12A, which is the one that was built a year ago, it's a flood control structure on Pigeon Creek. Pigeon Creek runs up through the center of the dam. There's a tributary off the side that goes up to 11A. So this structure was built a year ago as a flood control structure on Pigeon Creek. It provides relief to the Pigeon Creek levees down below, along with Cramper Lake, which is on Jones Creek. So there's two different creeks that come together, Jones and Pigeon. And so it's a nice-looking structure. It has about 11 acres at the drawdown level and about 33 acres at the normal pool. So it's about three times bigger when the pool is actually up to the normal height. At the current level, it's actually a drawdown level, so it's a lower level. Flood pool is about 100 acres, so you can see as we look downstream, it's a pretty impressive location. There's, you know, you're top of a ridge line. So we're going back up to 11A. 11A was built again in 99. District actually cost-shared on this structure. The district provided 60% of the cost to take an old bridge and convert it into a dam. It took about 20 foot of grade out of this particular creek at that time and provided a tremendous, you know, grade control up above it, as well as gave the county a way to get rid of a troublesome bridge. The bridge was basically in danger of failing because of undercutting. So the current 1211, I guess, the outlet is actually here. You can see the black device is actually below or above the water right now because the drawdown on the 12A is actually open. So after the structure started filling about last year, district staff was out, you know, inspecting it one day, and they discovered that 11A, there's a little hawk there for a little, it's in the picture, the drone happened to catch a hawk. Anyway, that's the end of the video. Maybe go back to the memo if you could at the front end of the document, Bill. So anyway, what's happened here is we discovered, I guess, through our own M guys that basically water is backing up into 11. So 11 is going to be submerged partially by 12A. And 12A, in hindsight, it's a hindsight thing, 12A should have been probably included replacing 11 at the time because 11 is actually impacted by 12A. So you can't impact someone else's structure without, you know, mitigating it. So as a result, we need to, in order to take care of this problem, we need to basically go in and take out the existing pipe through 11, put in a road culvert at a higher elevation, and it'll no longer be a dam, just be considered a road crossing. And so DNR would actually, the state of Nebraska will say it's no longer a dam, but it's just strictly a road crossing. The work to do this, the replacement cost of the culvert is roughly $40,000 for engineering and about $166,000 for construction, so about $200,000 roughly to have an engineer design it and also then to build it. So pretty simple project, but unfortunately needs to be done. So the county has actually reviewed this agreement already that you're going to be looking at tonight. The county has approved it. Their involvement basically is that they agreed to allow this to happen. First of all, it's on their right-of-way. And they allow the current structure be taken out, the pipe be taken out, and then the new structure be put back in. So the district's basically paying for all the costs. The county provide the right-of-way, which already exists, and then they provide O&M down the road. So down the road, the county will be responsible to maintain this culvert down as it goes, gets older. Current culvert's about 20 years old, so it's probably halfway through its life. So CMP culvert, which we put back in, would last about 40 years or so. So again, that's kind of the overview. There's an agreement that's attached. We can go through any parts of that if you want to, but that's kind of an overview of what's happened, what's going on, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the structure and what's going, what needs to be done, I guess.
Thanks, Martin.
Sure.
We can have a motion on this item.
So moved. Staff recommendation.
Second.
Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak to the item? Directors?
So the black pipe, Martin, is too low?
It's about 7 foot too low. So the invert of the number 11 pipe, which is up above the 12 we first looked at, so 11 is a road structure. That's about 7 foot lower than it needs to be.
So 12 can never fill like it's supposed to?
What would happen basically with the upper structure is going to be underwater. So the road structure, Simmons Road or number 11, the water back into the pipe and it basically wouldn't operate as a dam, wouldn't operate properly as a culvert because it's going to be full of water. And so if you had a flood event, what's going to happen is that's going to be basically water won't go through the pipe. It's just going to set there. So it's going to probably overtop the road at some point if it gets enough water coming down the valley. So the idea is to get this culvert up above the water of 12A pool so when it does flow through the culvert, it doesn't has free flow condition. It can't be backing up and be damming the or affecting the other dam. So basically we're trying to basically raise the pipe up to get it up above the water surface of 12A, which is down below. 12A is about a half mile down below 11, and so we're basically raising the pipe up to get it up high enough. But the pipe needs to be bigger because it's we're going from a dam to a culvert, and so there has to be a larger pipe put in, and it's also going to be higher too. So,
was this missed, or this is just something we found and we got to deal with it now?
It was actually, I think, missed in terms of engineering. The consultant probably should have caught it. The hindsight type thing is it should have been done first, but the net result is you'd have to do it anyway. If you're doing 12A properly with 11 there, you can't let it go. You got to take care of 11. So 12A, you might say, created the problem, but it would have been a cost to the district, whether it was done before or now, I guess. The only cost, maybe additional cost, is that you're mobilizing twice the site. You know, you're mobilizing another contractor later. That costs a little more money because you got another contractor coming into the site to do work. But it's the net result is still the same that you'd be paying for modifying 11. If you put 12A where it's at, and the 12A, I think, was always planned to be that location. I think kind of what happened here a little bit, too, is that 11 was designed by the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Olson, who designed 12A, wasn't involved in 11. Maybe it's a, you know, it's innocent type thing. They didn't really know that there was another structure above it. They should have probably looked at that. They didn't look, didn't catch it, so to speak. So they've looked at a little bit of this for us kind of as a result of what we found out. They did some free work for the district to see what's going on and what maybe needs to be done, some, you know, ideas of what we could do to resolve the issue. You could obviously keep 12A low at the lower level forever, and that would be okay with 11 would be okay. The problem with that is then we've kind of promised that property owner a structure of a certain size, certain kind of pond, and all of a sudden he's getting a pond that's about one-third the size, 11 acres versus 33 acres. And it's also, flood control-wise, it's going to do a great job no matter if you fill it up or not, but it looks nicer as a lake if you have a true lake there, not just a little smaller pond. So we've kind of promised, I think, the owner of the property in a way that you're going to get so-and-so lake here, and you're not going to actually get it after all. You're going to say, well, what's going on here? What are we going to do about it? So I think we kind of owe it to the property owner, too. We've been promising that we do it right. We fix it, you know, fix the problem. So it's a hindsight thing, you know. In retrospect, it would be nice if it had been done to start with, but it wasn't. So here we are, you know. So what do we do about it?
Any other questions?
Is the whole thing on considered private property?
The 12A is on private property. And I didn't actually work in the project construction-wise. I think it's owned by Bryce Anderson primarily.
He owns everything up there.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's the type of thing where he's cooperative, and we needed to, I think always the goal was to have flood control structure in Pigeon Creek, and this is a good site for it. So you could have moved it downstream. Maybe that would have helped Lovin a little bit, but you'd have to have a cooperative owner, too. That's the thing. Finding cooperative owners isn't always easy. It's easier in Dakota County than it is down here, but up there it's sometimes it isn't easy either. So it was a great location for a dam, just that unfortunately it impacted Lovin. So the bottom line is we've got to fix it in some way or another. So this is, seems to be the logical way to fix it, fix the problem.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number seven, amendment number three with Houston Engineering for Southern Sarpy Watersheds Partnership. Ian?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. So yes, the subject of this memo is an amendment for the professional services contract with Houston Engineering for the Southern Sarpy Watersheds Partnership. Specifically, Houston is studying the hydraulics and hydrology in the Southern Sarpy County and developing a watershed management plan for the area. You may recall in June of this year, we gave an update presentation, myself and Sarah Mechtenberg from Houston Engineering, on this project, and that detailed some of the specific watershed issues that we're facing in the Southern Sarpy, mostly due to the anticipated development in the area and some of the recommended plan and policy actions that we've developed because of that. That presentation is available online, so if anyone wants to review that information and get a little bit more background on the project itself, I'd be happy to provide that or answer questions tonight about that. But specifically on the professional services contract and the timeline here, the original contract was executed in January of 2017 with then Fire Engineering, now Houston Engineering, and scoped through December of 2018. Since then, there have been two amendments in tandem with the different phases of the project. First amendment was in May of 2019, expanded the scope, extended the timeline out, and then the last and most recent amendment was in February of 2021, again expanding the scope for some additional tasks and extended timeline out to January of 2022, and that is where the contract is at right now. So obviously we're quite some time past January of 2022, but work is continuing and will continue until the watershed plan is complete and adopted by the partnership, the different partners, in July of 2024. So this amendment addresses work that's been completed since January 2022 beyond the scope of the current contract, as well as some out-of-scope items that were requested by the partnership in the meantime. So if we go to the fourth page of the amendment, it details some of the tasks that were completed beyond the scope or out-of-scope items. That includes everything from just project management, which includes the attendance of Houston staff at coordination meetings with the NRD or partnership meetings to discuss policy recommendations, discuss plan recommendations, those sorts of things, to additional alternatives analysis completion, and some completely out-of-scope work that wasn't part of the original contract but was very valuable, such as the preparation and submittal of a preliminary investigation feasibility report for NRCS funding. So if there's any questions on any of those tasks, I'd be happy to answer. But the additional fee in this amendment, the breakdown of that fee and the different tasks that it corresponds to is on the very last page here. So if we jump to page 6 of the PDF, just to have it up on the screen, the total amendment amount is $75,975, which would bring the contract total to a not-to-exceed amount of $1,289,533. We anticipate that this amendment would carry us through the completion of the plan and the adoption of the interlocal. If there's any questions on any of the tasks that are presented here on the timeline of the contract, project in specific, be happy to answer that. But
thanks, Ian. We have a motion on this item.
A motion for staff.
No motion.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Hey, just a brief question. Who's all going to use this plan when you're done with it? Just us, or is it going to be?
It would be each partner jurisdiction would adopt the policies, and we would use the plan recommendations for specific projects as well the NRD would undertake. But so the Bellevue, Papillion, every partner jurisdiction would utilize the plan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions?
So
Look at the last sheet.
Yep.
Looks like half the change is them attending meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Were those meetings up and above what's originally planned?
Well, so some of these meetings are ones that have already taken place. So the contract that we're currently on was scoped through January of 2022. So since then, there have been a number of partnership meetings. Even that presentation we gave was part of a stakeholder engagement process, so meetings associated with that. Some of these meetings are projected meetings to see us through that July interlocal adoption. So this includes both either Mike and Sarah from Houston attending partnership meetings, which may involve answering questions from the partners and some of the recommendations that we're working through, or any sort of technical work, but also coordination meetings with NRD staff in specific, where we kind of get more into some of the technical work that's going on. Also, I would like to mention that this amount is a not-to-exceed amount. Both Mike and Sarah may not attend every meeting. We may not have this many more meetings, but we just want to be prepared in case the effort gets, you know, more complicated. We need to have more meetings.
But this has already happened.
Some of them have already occurred. Some of this will see us through through July.
Next July.
Yep, July 2024, when the new interlocal will be adopted.
Okay.
And this project will be complete.
Any other questions?
Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Keister?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. Item number 8, Flat River Bridge Trail Construction Contract Bid and Resolution. Eric Williams.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Next page, please. This is the Platte River Bridge Trail, which we've talked about a number of times over about the last 5 or 6 years. And at this point, I'm glad to have a recommendation for awarding the construction contract. We've made it all the way through the design process. This is a federal aid project, so the letting was carried out by NDOT. You can see the location of the project here as a reminder from Allied Road on the north side, across the eastern edge or the downstream edge of the two northbound lanes and connecting to Beach Road on the south side. The next page is the bid tab from the bidding. We most recently had a board action item to approve the plans to go out for bid, and now we have the results from that bidding. And the apparent low bidder was Hawkins Construction, so NDOT has provided this bid tab reflecting the various bids that were received. And the next step is for the NRD to approve awarding the construction contract to the low bid from Hawkins Construction. And then NDOT will schedule a pre-construction meeting and initiate the construction in October of 2023. This is a working days contract, and so we anticipate completion of the construction by about the end of summer 2024. Which is a little sooner than I was anticipating, so good news there. But the recommendation now is, back to the first page, please, to award the construction contract to Hawkins Construction in the amount of $3,346,061.60. And this does come with a specific resolution. It'll be the last page in your packet. Language that NDOT wants us to execute that resolution, and then they will move forward with the construction contract documents on behalf of the NRD. Again, as a reminder, this is a federal aid project, and so 80% of the cost will be federal aid funds, and then 20% is the responsibility of the Papio NRD. But by extension, we have an interlocal agreement with other jurisdictions to divide that 20%, half or 10% of the total, to the Papio NRD, and then the other 10% distributed between the Lower Platte South NRD, Sarpy and Cass County, and Bellevue and Plattsmouth cities. With that, we recommend approval of the construction contract so we can move forward with Hawkins Construction.
Thank you very much. We can have a motion. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Phil?
Yeah, I'm very excited to hear about the August of 24. That's quicker than I was thinking. So you really think it's on track to start in October, next month already?
We do. That was included in the specifications when NDOT bid the project. I spoke with the project manager from Hawkins earlier today. They were just making sure they were aligned with our process here and then the timeline for us to send the confirmation of the approved and executed resolution to NDOT. I'm planning pending approval on Thursday. I would plan to send that information to NDOT on Friday. NDOT would then schedule the pre-construction meeting, get all of the other things set up to get on site very quickly. A large portion of the work is the bridge itself, those spans over the river. As a reminder, the piers were widened, and then the girders have already been placed. So the next step is the steel underside of the superstructure, and then the concrete deck, and then the concrete on both sides for the trail connections. So a large portion of that steel work can be done, even in times when we couldn't otherwise be doing grading or concrete work. So that's why NDOT has this plan for winter construction timeline.
I think it's going to look great, so thank you.
I'm also very excited.
Yeah.
Any other directors? Questions? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. That completes my report. Sure.
Yay. We'll call the FEL subcommittee to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act posted in the little meeting room. The quorum call.
Bradley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. Adoption agenda, item four.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of this meeting notice. Item 6, FAPI NRD FY 2024 tax levy and adoption of the budget. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received final valuations from the county clerk's offices. If you look in your packet, the numbers are as follows. SARPY, 14.56% increase. Douglas, 12.2% increase. Washington, 14.97. Dodge, 14.67. Burt, 21.67. Thurston, 15.16. And Dakota, 9.53. So our average valuation increase was 12.96% across the district. We have right now we're close to $100 billion of evaluation in our district. So that number continues to grow. Again, per the public hearing, the tax levy will be set at 0.031324. That is a decrease from last year. If you look at the chart below, the tax levy for a home valued at $100,000 last year was $34.76 they would pay to the district. This year it would be $31.32, 11% reduction. And then valued at $200,000, $69.52. This year, $62.64. It's another 11% reduction. So unless there's any specific questions, I would recommend we adopt this tax levy and the budget as provided.
We got a motion?
For management's recommendation.
Second.
Anybody from the general public wish to make a comment? Directors. Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Yes. That concludes my report.
Hey. Nice work, Director Teaser.
Oh, quick.
Let's see, Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Committee, Director Ted Jett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My call to order, the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee, RFP for the Papio NRD Hazard Mitigation Plan update. The notification of the Open Meetings Act is posted in the back, and do we need to read the whole thing about the meeting procedure again or not? No. It's the same one that was read earlier today, right, several times. Let's have a quorum call, please.
Bonnet?
Present.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes. Here.
Thompson? Oh, sorry.
Here.
And chairperson?
Here. And proof of publication, I think we mentioned that before. It's of the meeting notice. It'll become part of the permit record. And number six is the contract with JEO Consulting Group for the Papio NRD Hazard Mitigation Plan update. So, Lori, take it away.
We need to adopt the agenda.
Did we do that already? I guess not. Okay, let's adopt the agenda then.
Motion to adopt the agenda?
Yeah. Motion made and seconded.
Okay, who made the motion?
I did.
Who's
Mr.
Gorman's alternate?
Okay.
We have a full roster.
That's
right. I've got the
agenda. There you go.
Okay. Thompson, adopt the agenda.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second was Conley?
Who are you an alternate?
Okay. Sorry. Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Okay. All right, Lori, try it again.
Okay. So tonight before you, we have the contract with JEO Consulting Group to help update the district's hazard mitigation plan. They were the only proposal that we received last month, and they are, we feel, the most qualified firm in the state to do the work. So we requested that the policy be waived for interviews and went directly into contract negotiation. And so this will be the third time that JEO has helped us update this plan. As a reminder, this plan is required to be eligible for FEMA hazard mitigation funding, which is funding that we have used for buyout programs, and we received funding for WP4 through the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities program as well. So this is something that we use a lot. The communities within our district use a lot. We coordinate this plan for all eligible participants within the district, because a lot of the work would be the same when we're talking about risk assessment and demographics. So we have taken that on to coordinate that. The total for the contract is $309,750, which is about what we expected it to be. We will be applying for a grant under the Hazard Mitigation Assistance Program to cover the costs of the plan, and that covers 75% of the costs. And new this year, the governor has allowed the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency to use the governor's emergency fund to help fund the local portion of hazard mitigation projects. So we may be eligible for another 12.5% in state funding, leaving the district with only 12.5% to pay. So with that, I can answer any questions about the project or the contract.
Do we need a motion on it for that?
Motion to approve.
All right. Second. Motion and second. All right. Any discussion? Anybody from the public wish to make any comments or questions?
I do have Becky Appleford and Brooke Secord with JEO, who are the project managers here, if you have questions for them as well.
Good. Thank you. Directors, any questions? I just had one question.
Yes.
We're doing this, obviously. Does every NRD do this for their area, or just who does this otherwise?
I believe in Nebraska, all of the NRDs are the coordinating.
Not all of the
counties. Okay, come on.
Can you state your name, please?
Becky Appleford with JEO Consulting Group. And to the question regarding if all the NRDs coordinate the update of the hazard mitigation plan, don't have the exact number, but I'd say about half of them do. Those that do not run the mitigation plan update, it's typically conducted through the emergency management office with the county, and then they come together with multiple counties to do their update plan.
Okay. Well, I answered it. Thank you. And then myself, any other questions?
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Lori, is it true that any participating municipality who maybe is in the area but does not participate in this planning process is precluded from certain types of grants?
Yes.
Yes, they. You do have to be an active participant in a hazard mitigation plan to be eligible for any of the FEMA hazard mitigation assistance programs, which include flood mitigation assistance, hazard mitigation grant program, and the BRIC program that we're using for WP4.
Would an SID be an eligible participant in this plan?
They would be an eligible participant, yes.
Would a homeowners association be an eligible participant?
No. So generally, to be an eligible participant, you would have to be a government entity. Since SIDs are a political subdivision of the state, they are eligible, but that line, they can certainly participate in the public outreach portion, but they would not be a participant in the plan eligible to apply for a grant.
Do we have any targeted SIDs that would or should participate in this?
No, not to my knowledge. I know that SID 101 in Sarpy County has been interested in the past. You know, we've kind of sent some emails out to SID engineers and attorneys with the previous plan update, and we got zero response from that. It's just not something that they typically do as an SID, but we could, you know, send that out there again, inviting them to participate.
I would like to see that, especially SID 292 and any other SID between 419 East through 5, 6, and 7.
Okay. Yeah.
I had one more question. So is there's no agency. This costs nothing for the individual agencies that utilize this. Is that correct?
Correct. So yeah, we cover that cost.
It's amazing that they don't look into that more. I mean, the benefits seems
don't know to about it.
That's what I'm thinking, so.
A lot of it has to do with the complexity of getting a FEMA grant.
Uh-huh.
A lot of smaller communities have trouble doing that without having staff support. I know that there are several communities within our district that have utilized that funding. And we have some of that examples. I can't tell you all of them off the top of my head. But
right.
The city of La Vista, we partnered with a project that they did along Thompson Creek, doing some buyouts and stream restoration. The city of Omaha has used it as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? If not, let's vote on it.
Okay. Conley?
Aye.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
And with that completes my portion.